I'd like this morning to look at the subject of balance. Balance in my life is what I'm really interested in. But I think about temporal things that help us to think about spiritual things. And recently I have been watching, keeping track of a man named, his last name is Walinda. His family, what they specialize in is tightrope walking. And you know, it would be one thing if I walked, tried to balance on something a foot off the ground, and falling is no big deal. But they don't do that. They draw crowds that watch them walk on a 5/8 steel cable, hundreds of feet above the ground, and with no fall protection. If you slip, that's it. Your life is over. And there have been several of that family. They were saying about the great-grandfather. He had done it for many, many years. Well, you know, all you have to do is slip once. And he fell to his death. But they just kept continuing on. The rest of the family kept continuing on. And a few months ago, I saw a picture of him maybe 400 foot above ground, with a cable that is stretched at an angle, and he's walking it. And he's got to walk uphill with nothing to grip but the soles of his shoes. And he makes it. The crowd is just cheering, and they are so happy. But he says, wait, I'm not through yet. He said, I'm going to walk it again, and you blindfold me. So he had nothing for balance except his foot. He would not even, you know, he can't see. So he's got to, when he takes his next footstep, he's got to balance until he is sure he is over that cable with the next foot. It was amazing to me what a person is able to do. But it also, every time I would see it, I would think of the verse that says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But he walked it the second time and was successful. And just yesterday I looked again, because when you're doing that, you've always got to stretch a little farther. You've got to do something that is a little more risky for the crowd to go to cheering. And so yesterday I saw that they had stretched a cable over Times Square. So it is way up. The crowd just looks very small down below. And he has a sister that is also a tightrope walker. And they said, what we're going to do this time is we're going to both start from opposite ends, and we're going to have to cross each other in the middle. And, you know, it's one thing to be able to stand up and balance and go across. But when they got to the middle, one has got to get down and, I guess, turn to where the other one can step over them and then turn back and stand back up again. Well, I guess why I really appreciate that kind of thing is because if I get down on the ground, the easiest way for me to get up quick is if I have a 5-gallon bucket. Thank you. Have something to help me to get up. But they can be completely down on a 5/8 inch cable and get back up again. It was amazing to me and how they crossed over each other. And what they use for balance is a pole. Now you would think that's the last thing I want to be trying to carry around with me on a 5/8 inch cable. But they said that pole can be 39 foot long, and that is what helps to give them balance. Well, he had that 39 foot or whatever length pole he had, and he's got to hold on to that thing while she gets down and he steps over and doesn't slip. And so they were successful. Well, he said, I've got another one ahead for me. Somewhere there is an active volcano. You can see the lava, the red lava stirring in it. He said, I want to prove that I can walk across the rim of that and make it. Well, those are all temporal things. It's amazing to me the balance someone can have. But you know what? He can have very good balance in his body. But he may not have, it's possible that a person could have very good balance that way and not have balance in their life. And what I'm interested in today is, you know, we're all headed for eternity. And it's going to be very important that I'll be able to balance things in this life. So I was thinking about the song that we even heard just now. Jesus, to me, as I pictured this, what I saw yesterday of them crossing on that cable and holding that balancing pole, Jesus is the balance for our life today. Jesus, that power that keeps me is you. And another one said, Jesus, my hope and my anchor is you. You know, I think I need to realize that in this life, there are days when I feel like I've got it in control. I can take care of, because I have no problems, I can take care of the things in my life today. But you know, really, even in those days, I need the Lord to balance my life. And so I'd like for a little while to take a look first at temporal balance that we need in our life, because it will affect us spiritually. I'd like to start in a verse in Proverbs 30 and 7. In this verse 30 and 7, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. So if you had two wishes that you would give to the Lord, I got two things that I need you to do for me. Here's what his was. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So I'm thinking about balance this morning. These verses are saying, Lord, I need you to help me to be balanced. Don't want to swing too far either way. And I thought about scriptures that tell us about the need for balance. Someone that was not balanced. I looked at King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel, the 4th chapter. You remember when he had the dream? They couldn't interpret what it was, but Daniel gets the interpretation from God. And what the interpretation boiled down to was, O king, you need to humble yourself. You need to realize that everything that you have comes from God. You need to realize that if you would change your ways, it's possible that God would have mercy on you. And I look down here on the 29th verse, 1 year passes in King Nebuchadnezzar's life, and nothing has happened. But now it says, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the king of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Look at how many times in that verse it's talking about himself, what I have been able to do. And it says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And we read what happened over 7 years. God brought him down to where, when this chapter ends, Nebuchadnezzar is a different person. When God brings him back out of that again, 37th verse says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about troubles that can come into our life. And you know, I would like for trouble to never come into my life. What if trouble had not come into Nebuchadnezzar's life? What if when he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built, he just continues on with no problems coming into his life? He would not have had this verse at the end of the chapter. I realize that those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar, because of the things that came into his life, was able to learn balance. It is not over here where I am the one in control. Look what I've been able to do. But it's God that gave it to me. When the children of Israel were in Egypt and God is going to bring them out, you know, the children of Egypt, and when in Egypt, children of Israel there, they didn't have much. They were slaves. And God's going to bring them out of there, and he has given them a promise. I'm going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. Now, that sounds like a great thing, but I'd like to look. There's some warnings that he gave them in Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, because he realized what man is made up of and the dangers that there can be. Sixth chapter and the 10th verse. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. You know, they were going to walk into places where the houses are already there. The vineyards are already there. It says, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. Wells dig which thou digst not. Vineyards and olive trees which you didn't plant. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. It says, beware. There's something to remember now, because you can lose your balance right there. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, for them, the Lord's warning them, I'm going to bring you into something that is very special. I'm going to give it to you. But you need to be real careful, because then it's going to be real easy to forget the Lord. And there's another place where he talks about it in Deuteronomy in the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy 8 and 7 through 9. The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates. You know, you remember whenever they went into that land and the 10 of them were touring it, and they came back with clusters of grapes that was big enough that took two people to carry them. It was truly a great land. But he's telling them, a land wherein thou eatest bread without scarceness. 10th verse, when thou hast eaten and art full. Here's what you need to do. Bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments. And then he starts in the 12th verse, because here is what the danger is. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth. And it goes on down in the 17th verse. Here's the thing that we need to worry about. And thou say in thine heart, you know, maybe it doesn't even come out in words, but you say in your heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Be careful at this time when God blesses us that we remember, because this is part of that balancing. You know, I can get out of balance in temporal things and it can affect me spiritually. Here it says, here's what you do. Be real careful that you not say it was my power and my might that got me this. You know, ever since I was a child, mom and dad would say, nope, we're not going to start eating until we thank the Lord first. Now, that can get to be just a repetition. It's just something I do before I eat. But it's not intended to be that. You know what it's intended to do? Is just exactly what this is. It's intended to remind me at every meal. So three times a day that I'm reminded, it was not my power and the might of my hand that got me this wealth. I'm reminded, Lord, it's you that has provided this for me. Lord, it's you that gave me the strength to be able to get up and go to a job. It's you that gave me the ability to think on that job and keep the job. So there's really nothing that I take credit for it in myself. And it's saying, be real careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by feeling like I have been able to attain these things. There is a song that we sing sometimes. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. You know how easy it is to forget that? This thing is temporary. My home, my cars, everything that I have here in this life is temporary. If the end of all things does not come before I die, and it's all burned up, then when I die, I'm going to leave it all behind. No one takes anything with them, no matter how wealthy they are. Says they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. It says, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Every once in a while, Lord, help me to stop and look back. And it was you all along that has helped me. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Because you know what? It's easy for all of us with a desire to make heaven to forget. We get involved in temporal things, and my job becomes so important, and it needs to. You know, God gave me the responsibility to provide for my family. But he also, like the man on the wire with the long balancing pole, he has also given me a responsibility to balance that part of my life, that it does not affect me spiritually, but that I would be ready at any time he would call for me. I remember the request that was put in at a service here a while back. Brother Tommy Wingate, as we had heard messages about eternity and the end coming, and he said, I have a request now. You know, even with our Sunday school class, things change how I look at things when I measured against eternity. And what was coming across to me as he put in that request is, wait a minute. I'm seeing that decisions I make about temporal things can affect where I spend eternity. And so now, Lord, I want to come to you even about a job change. Lord, which way would you have me to go? Which one will give me the best opportunity of making heaven my home? You know, I'll have to say for myself, I never used to think that way. My first questions are, how much do you pay? What's the benefits coming from it? And then choose which one is the best job. But you know, as we start looking at eternity out ahead, and we will spend it there in one of two places forever. And it's going to all be affected by choices that I have made while I'm in this life. And then I start saying, Lord, I can't see tomorrow. If only Lot, Abraham's nephew, had been able to see out into tomorrow. You know, Lot was a wealthy man. It tells us that because they both had so many flocks and herds that the land was not able to sustain both of them together. So he was a wealthy man on his own by that time. And Abraham tells him, you pick. Which one do you want? You go this way, I'll go the other way. So there was nothing wrong in him being able to choose which one he took. But what he did was he looked and he saw, this is the best land. This is the place for me to go. And he headed in that direction. And then it moves a little at a time. It just goes a few more verses and it says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He didn't live there. He just was heading a little bit closer that way. And we can't really tell. I couldn't really tell years, but I see another chapter. Uh-oh. He's in there now. He's living in there amongst them. But he has not turned his heart away from God. It says he vexed him, his righteous soul, daily with this wickedness that was going on. So inside of Sodom, he was keeping himself pure. We see it whenever he tries to protect the angels. But you know what? In Deuteronomy, where it says, I've set before you life and death, I've set before you blessing and cursing. Now you're going to have to choose. Choose life so that both you and your seed shall live. It's going to affect more than just me in the decisions that I make, even about temporal things. It did it with Lot. Lot had some children that died, some in-laws that died when Sodom and Gomorrah fell. Fire and brimstone on them. Lot was able to escape. You know, folks, we can make wrong decisions about temporal things, and it seems like there's no problem from it. But maybe I make it, and my children don't from it. So I'm starting to find out more for myself. Lord, I can't see into tomorrow, so I ask you to lead me in temporal things. Sometimes we try to separate temporal and spiritual, but I'm finding they both mesh together. One will affect the other. But the Bible gives us some real good instruction. I'm going to have to take care of the temporal things in this life. And I'd like to look at a few of the verses. Proverbs gives us some verses about how I need to be diligent in those areas in my life. I'd like to look at Proverbs 10 and 4. It says, "He that becometh poor, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." And in 12 and 24 of Proverbs, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." You know, I was thinking about Joseph. We always kind of, I do anyhow, whenever I think of Joseph, I just have some little spots in his life that take him from the beginning to the end of the 13 years of his trouble in his life. But you know, Joseph, it tells me that he was, I'd like to look at that in Genesis 39. Joseph was a diligent man in his business. And you know, he's a slave. He could have easily said in his heart, "You know what, I'm only going to give out just enough from keeping from getting a beating. I'm not going to put out anything to try to help this man, Potiphar, to prosper." But I look at him in 39 and the second verse. Here he is a slave. He's lost his freedoms. And yet he has this kind of attitude. "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." So it's not just Joseph by himself, and yet it's not just God by himself. The two together made Potiphar to be able to see the difference. "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and over all that he had put in his hand." You know what I find something about Christian people? They make good workers at a workplace. And by hard work, they are lifted to better positions. Why is it? The boss knows I can trust them. There can be money laying out on the counter and they will not take it. I can be gone for a week and they will continue to do the work that I leave with them. So there, just like with Joseph, God is able to make all that to prosper. And it tells us, I was looking at another one in Proverbs 27. 27 and 23. "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." So we could go all through scripture in the Bible and it says, okay, over in this temporal side, you put your heart into it. You do very well with it. But then it also says, there's a great commandment. You love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. How are you able to do the two of them together? It seemed like I'm supposed to be putting my heart into being diligent on my workplace. And yet the Lord's saying, give me your whole heart. You know what? When we do that, God causes this other to prosper. Whenever I am putting the priorities right in my life. Now there is a verse in Romans 12 and 11 says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." I was reading the commentary about that. It says, here's the tendency that comes from employment. The tendency is that it can take my affection away from God, because it's real easy for me to put 100% on my job and my spiritual life lack from it. Is it possible for me to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength and still be a great employee? It is. Because what I'm doing is I'm putting first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is number one. And then it's amazing how all these other things will be added to you. God will take care of those. It says people are prone to forget God when they get deeply engaged in worldly employments. And that is the job I go to tomorrow. When I get too involved in that, it can cost me on the spiritual side. I was looking at the verse, Hebrews 10 and 25. Because this is something else that can come at risk whenever I get real busy. And the Bible has taught me that I need to be diligent about my business. But here's something that I need to hold ahead of that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Being able to balance temporal things with spiritual things. And that balancing pole is Christ. He is able to help me to know you're putting too much over on this side. Remember, eternity is ahead. You know, even this morning, it's a beautiful day. We've had rain for the last few days, and you can be behind on some outside work. Tell you what, you drive down the road, and you'll find a whole lot of people that found that they're behind on some outside work. And this is the day to take care of it. And we're here at service going to miss a couple hours of that good sunshine if I could have gotten some work done. But this one says, so much the more, don't you forsake this time right here, so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? My last day on earth, when I'm going to leave here and leave all this thing behind. Everything that I have worked for will be left behind at that time. So when I start balancing life, balancing my temporal things, I realize, you know what? When it's service time, there's nothing more valuable than being in service, because this is helping me for the eternal good. In fact, it's Psalm 73 says, truly God is good to Israel, but as for me, my feet almost slipped. Thinking about that balancing wire, 5/8 cable, it's death if you fall off of it. He says, my feet just almost slipped. Because I think of the focus that a person must have to have when he's walking a tightrope. You can't get to looking off to the side at what he's just looking at where I put my foot the next step. Don't get distracted by sounds around you. There's nothing more important than where I put my foot the next time. And so this person in Psalm 73, he said, I got distracted on some things. I started looking around me and I saw others, the wicked, were prospering. You know, we expect the Christian to be the one that always stays on top and has good things going in their life. But he said the wicked were prospering. In fact, it seemed like there wasn't even any bands in their death. And you know, we're praying for maybe a dozen people that are real, people that could, some of those could die easily at any time. But he said it seemed like the wicked didn't have any bands, any trouble in their death. And he said it just was almost too much for me. What saved him from slipping? It says, until I went into the sanctuary, this opportunity that we have right now. And that's when I understood their end. When I come in from my worldly employments, the temporal things that I am doing, I'm trying to save some money myself. I'm looking toward retirement myself. But you know what? I need these places to come back in and settle it all out, balance it again for me. Those things are important, but they're not the most important. I mentioned that verse before that said, this morning that said, it is better for us to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. How can that be? that it's better to go to someone's funeral service than to go to some place that we're having a big party. He said, because this is where I understand my end. This is where I start realizing, whoa, one day I will be here myself. And then, you know what? Everything starts balancing out a little better. I'm not going to put something so important to me that I don't get to come to service and learn, whoa, you know what? Even in this week, I've started allowing some things to get me out of balance. Lord, help me get back in balance again, realizing that I'm headed for eternity. So with this, you know, Jesus in Matthew 19, he had some pretty strong things to say about the temporal side when we let it get out of control. 19 and 23. Well, even before that, if we started in the 20th verse, remember when the young man came to him, it goes clear on back, I guess, to the 16th verse. One came to him, said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" You know, every one of us probably have that desire. I want to make heaven my home. What do I need to be able to do? So he was telling him, well, there's 10 commandments. Are you obeying those? And he said, I've kept them from my youth. And Jesus is able to check down inside our heart. That's why I want to have my heart open to the Lord, to where, because the scripture says every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I need the Lord to check it. And so in these verses, Jesus goes down inside the heart and he sees what is happening inside this young man, that is, there's something that caused him to even question whether he would have eternal life. Lord, what else do I need to do? And so Jesus is saying, tell you what, you go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. And it says the young man heard that saying, 22nd verse, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then I look at how Jesus deals with this. Verily I say unto you, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I was looking at that. The commentary said, people consider wealth a chief good. That's the best thing I can obtain. It says, when this is obtained, they think they have gained everything. You know, we see it all around us today. If I want advice on money matters, they will tell me, you better get to saving up some money for retirement so you can live very good in retirement. And I know they're not at a church house. But you know, when they talk about retirement, it's like when you have arrived here, you have arrived. But you know, when we start measuring it to eternity, I realize, no, I haven't arrived anywhere. I'm only one step closer to eternity. And all the choices that I have made to get me to this arrival, I am now ready. You remember the story, I think it's in Luke 12, of the man that had finally arrived. The rich farmer, when he brought in all of his crops, I'm going to have to even build some more barns to be able to keep all this. And you know, none of that was a sin for him to work hard, to be diligent. The scripture has taught us to be diligent with all those things. His problem was he got it out of balance. This part now is the most important thing to me. And now I have arrived. You know, I may not bring in a lot of fruit and I need a bigger barn. But you know, I need to be real, real careful, or that feeling can creep into me if things go well and I'm here at retirement time and things are going to be very well. I wouldn't say what he said. You know what? He didn't say it either. It was only in his mind that he was thinking. It says he thought within himself, saying, it has never come out yet. It's thoughts that are running through his head. Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And he heard this, thou fool, this night your soul will be required of thee. And then whose is going to be all this stuff? when it gets divided up between family or whoever, because you won't be taking it with you. I want to tell the Lord that I am thankful for these opportunities that we have to come together and balance life. Because tomorrow we're going to all go back to our work. We're going to go back to the different things that we do, the temporal things that we need to be able to do. But I've got to keep them balanced. Don't let any of those become more important than my soul. And you know, the devil would love for me to be able to say, I'm balancing it. I've got it under control. But I'm asking the Lord, Lord, you see out into eternity. I cannot see that. I've got some choices that I'll be making. And Lord, I'm needing you to give me direction with those choices. When Jesus went back up into heaven, the angel said, why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus, this same one that went up, he's coming back again. And they took that message very serious. And we read in the fourth chapter of Acts that they went out and they sold their possessions and they had everything common. Now that sounds like a good thing to do. Let's pool it together. Jesus is coming back soon. So let's just sell it all and we'll just live off of it until he comes back. We have now been over 2,000 years and he has not returned. So it's not going to be enough for me to say, you know what? Okay, I've got the spiritual side is the most important thing in my life right now. I'm quitting my job. I'm going to read and pray and be ready for when he comes. That's not balanced because I've got to take care of temporal things. What is balanced is for me to remember, Lord, okay, I'm going to go out and do the best I can to be diligent like Joseph did. I'm going to give it my very best efforts after I have put you first in my life. And when I do that, things will balance out in my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Lord, help us each one to be able to keep our life balanced. Because every one of us one day will step from this life and be judged. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, it's going to be the judgment. That judgment is checking back over all of my past life. What was the most important? What did I do with it? And now I will spend eternity after those choices. So I say, Lord, help me. Desire your prayers.